because I know there's battles and struggles in this place. So, Father, we're asking for your goodness. Father, not my words, but your words. In the name of Jesus. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Well, starters, why can't everyone just be like me and we could all just get along? Why can't you all just be like me? I know we laugh at that, yeah, but there's some truth in that statement, meaning that there are parts of us that we may actually believe that. Because you think, you know, when you grow up, yeah, you've got a foundation of what you believe, so everybody should come from your foundation because that's what you've learned, so everybody should be like you. Because that's what happens. And then we think, when somebody actually doesn't work with what we want, we get upset. We think, how come they're not behaving like me? Why can't you just change? And the truth is, God puts people in your hearts and around you so you'll change.
Yes. Yes.
And once the change comes, then you'll find sometimes in that person that was around you, there's a blessing sitting there waiting to be attached to actually give you something out of that. You see, sometimes we run from people. We think, oh no, I don't want to get around this person, that person. And the more we run, the more we find out, we find the same person, different face, but the same character. Because it's about us, it's not about the other person. So when people get around you to rub you up, and there's plenty of them that rub everyone up the wrong way, that's life, embrace that. Think, God, what are you doing here? There's something in me that reacts to this person because he wants to get something out of us. We all come from our own paradigm of brokenness. And like what Dario said last week, we've all got different cultures, all got different things we've come from, and we've all got different starting points in life, yeah? All of us. We've all been wired different, been taught different foundations of stuff that we think is right. So everybody should be just like me and we'll all get along. So forget what you think others should be doing to make your life more comfortable, and focus on what Christ is doing in you. Because that's the key. People with what we think have some serious issues are there for a reason, because God is after the issues in your own hearts that are affected. Often circumstances we face in life are there for our growth. Then when the work is done, we find that what was our trial had an attachment of the biggest blessing and victory, as I was just saying, hidden in the midst of that trial. So there's also, whenever you come through the other side, there's sometimes you could find out that you actually love the person that was actually rubbing you up the wrong way. Or he might move you into something else. We must not run from and avoid things that God is trying to take us through. Don't do that. I've tried that. And I can guarantee you, I'll meet the exact same person, different face, but the exact same person somewhere else. And he'll keep bringing the same people until what's dealt in my heart changes. You see, God is kind and gentle. He wants us to enter into the fullness of our inheritance. And we, like little children, ask for the fullness, but he knows that there is a work to be done in our hearts first in order for the inheritance not to destroy us. Because, you know, there's a whole heap of promises that God's given us, and we say, God, why can't we have it all now? But we can't see what's actually happening in our heart, stuff that needs to be dealt with before we can actually walk into the fullness. Why can't I have everything? Why can't we see a harvest come in the church? Why can't we see breakthrough? Why can't we see all these things? And he wants to do all that, but he wants our hearts to be transformed first. He wants to work inside us. Let's take a look at the Old Testament leader Moses. How would we be leading millions of people who had a slave mentality, a victim mentality? How would you be trying to lead those people that still had that mentality, that victim mentality? They'd seen all the mighty works of God with all the plagues in Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. But every trial that came their way, the heart was always wanting to go back to Egypt. 430 years of slave mentality for many of them, this was deeply entrenched in them. The Hebrews did not bow their knee to God. Instead, they said to Moses, "You speak to God for us." Because of this, even though they were no longer in Egypt, they still had Egypt in their hearts. You see, this is the thing. When we get saved, yeah, we end up in the wilderness. You know, we go across the Red Sea, as in the Old Testament talks about, but we're in this wilderness, in this place, but it's a good place. It depends how you view it. You can view it, think, oh, I want to go back to the old life. I want to do this. I want to be back there. Or you can think, no, God, you're dealing with me. Although it's painful, I don't know what's happening, I don't know why this stuff's going on in my heart, but you're dealing with me. And then start coming into this new place, and then freedom eventually. Then you can walk into the inheritance. Because we've all got to go through that. Everybody goes through that wilderness. What's happening? Why is this happening? Why am I going through this? You know, when I first come to church years ago, my mind was nutting off, as I've said many times, but I did not want to be in there. I loved the presence of God, but there was a fight in my head saying, get out of here, you're in a church, what are you doing? Don't stay here, these guys are crazy, all that sort of stuff. But yet God was speaking in my heart and transforming everything. And I had a fight going on. We need to understand, you know, when new people come in, when people are going through stuff, there's a fight going on for their souls. So we need to stand in there and love them and help them and encourage them, because that fight in the wilderness, a lot of us don't understand it when we're new. We cannot expect freedom from our old life, from the slave mentality of Egypt, without knowing God intimately. You have to have an intimate relationship. You think you're going to transform your life and get free and all that without knowing God and being intimate with him and being in that presence. It's not going to happen. You ever hear people say, I'm going to change. I'm going to reform. Oh, yeah. Have fun. You get in the presence of God, let him start loving on you. Let him start dealing with the issues in your heart that have got you trapped in the first place. That's where freedom comes. Here's a modern-day example of being enslaved. Let's take a look at women who are in domestic violent relationships, because there's a lot of that stuff goes on today. If they have not had soul ties broken off them, the spiritual darkness that continually pulls them back, even when they find refuge from the domestic violence in a shelter or a crisis centre, more often than not, their heart is still in Egypt, and often they go back, convinced that things have changed or will change, only to find that the punishment is worse. How many times have we seen that? You know, women getting bashed, beaten. It can happen with anybody, by the way. And then they end up back in that thinking, oh, yeah, it's going to change. But it hasn't changed. Because that stuff of Egypt, that stuff in their heart, still draws them back into the old ways of thinking, the old stuff. Or they hook up with another abuser, different face, but the same spirit, the same abuse. Because if you're not free in your heart of that stuff, you're going to get dragged back, you're going to get drawn back by the stuff that had you in the first place, in those places, all the time. Because spiritually, what's inside you? That's why it's not about others, it's about you and him. The devil doesn't make it easy to leave Egypt either. He sometimes increases the bondage to keep you from seeking the answer. There's nothing back in Egypt, you know that? There's nothing to go back to, nothing back in the darkness. But you know, when you're trying to get free, you look in the Old Testament when they're in Egypt, you know, they're talking to Pharaoh, saying the Hebrews, we want to get free and all that. So what happens was they increased the brick load, they increased it, they made it harder. And they're going, what happened? I thought we were going to get free. So what I'm saying is, when you come to Christ, the enemy doesn't just say, oh, how nice, there goes another one. Of course not. There's a fight going on for souls. That's why we need to be around our friends and family and brothers and sisters and pray for them and get them to see, hey, what's going on? There's a work in the heart, but the enemy's trying to drag you back. But the devil, when you get a realization, can go to hell because he's under our feet. He's a liar. You see, when I left Egypt, I left it all, everything. I had to. My drug-addicted and alcoholic friends, as soon as I could, it was a total cut. I moved to another suburb 30 kilometres away. I see people still hang around the old crowd and think, oh, no, I'm going to do this. Who are you kidding? I had to cut everything. I had to leave it all, lay it all down, die to that old way. Everything had to go. I had no choice. Old friends still tried to entice me back to Egypt, but I made it very clear that this was not going to happen. I cut it. Yeah, I'll still say hello to them, but, you know, from a distance. I had to do that. If I had stayed in that same crowd, I mean, years back, you know, I used to say, oh, yeah, I'm going to give up drugs, I'm going to give up alcohol, still hang around with my old mates, but I'm, you know. And I used to never, I'd last half an hour, I'd last a couple of days, a day. It would never happen. So I had to actually cut everything off. Some of my old friends even tried to entice me back from all the money that they were making. They were buying houses and properties from drug money. But none of that meant anything to me anymore. My heart had been detached from Egypt and all of the deception they had to offer. When I experienced the presence of God, it's like, why do I want any? You're not going to give me any of that. Why would I want that? If I can have Christ, if I can have the love, the presence, the joy, the peace, why would I want that? But see, Egypt stays in people's hearts. But this is all of us, yeah? Because as we're growing, we still have parts of that that God is healing and taking out. That's what sanctification is about. He's starting to get rid of all that stuff, and we battle and we struggle and we think, why are we going through this stuff? And if you don't understand what's going on, you can get deceived by that. That's why you have to understand, you know, I was on all these spiritual highs, and I'm watching people struggle, and I'm thinking, what are you doing? This is great. Until I got into a spiritual fight going on, I thought, this is hard. I remember at one stage, I was in pride, you know, because here I am, I'm free from drugs, heroin, all that, totally free, and I'm looking at other people, and they're struggling, and I'm saying, I don't understand why they're battling. This is easy. But you know what happened? Next day, I nearly backslid by saying that. So I realised, too, at the same time, keep my heart right. It's not my strength, it's His. Before I met Jesus in times past, I would do a geographical to try to leave my past behind and go in a state. I tried that, trying to escape my old friends. You know what happens? Within 5 minutes, exaggeration, probably 3 hours, but within 3 hours, I'd be there and I would meet the exact same people, different faces, but the same people. I'd hook up with them, I'd be doing the exact same stuff, doing the drugs, the crime, the drink, the whole lot. Because Egypt was still in my heart. You think, oh, you know, I'm going to go somewhere else and change, and, you know, I'll get around other places, it'll be all different. No, it won't. Because you're still carrying Egypt. You're still carrying your old nature. You're still carrying the old stuff inside. Unless Christ is in there changing you, it doesn't matter where you go, you'll still attract the same people. You'll see different faces, but they'll be the exact same people. And you can pinpoint them. Oh, I know this person. I know that person. Because you know the spirit that's inside them. That's why. No matter how much I tried to escape the drug and alcohol and crime life that I led, I found that I just could not. The answer was because I still had Egypt in my heart. Have you ever told yourself, if I just move to another city or to another state, things will change? When you do move, you find that you do the exact same things. The reason is because you're still carrying Egypt in your own heart. You can't escape like that. See, we need to understand when we get out of Egypt and we go into the wilderness, as it talks about in the Old Testament, because we do that as Christians, it's a good place. It depends how you view it. Okay, God, what is going on? Why am I struggling? I bring this to you. Help me through this. Get around people who are going to encourage you. Get around the world, and I'll tell you, you'll go straight back. Moses was the leader of ex-slaves. Or were they ex-slaves? Because what I see is that all they did is a geographical. They did not choose intimacy with God. They chose Egypt all the time. We want to go back to Egypt. We want to stone you for what you're saying. We want to go back to Egypt. When I came to faith years back, there's a friend of mine who came to faith at the same time from the same crowd. And we both had the same choices, same choices to do the same things. But his friends kept coming around his place and I'd go home. We were only a couple of flats away from where we were living because that's all we could afford. And I'd go home. I thought, no, I'm not having nothing to do with this. And he'd go back on the drugs, and next day, because he had schizophrenia, see, but he got healed from that, totally free. But the moment he went back, getting on the drugs and that, the schizophrenia would come back. And then I'd watch him, he'd say, no, I'm not having nothing to do with him anymore. He'd get free, passionate the whole lot, and then, bang, here we go, I'm back there again. Cut a long story short, the choices, my dear friend, he ended up committing suicide probably about 5 or 6 years ago. I know I don't like giving bad reports because I've seen too many good reports, but sometimes you can't afford to go back to Egypt. There's nothing back there. It's dead. It's finished. It's gone. You cannot go back. And it's hard because we're in transition. You know, I get that. You come from an old life. It's like, what's it going to look like? Because it's scary. I've got to cross this Red Sea. I don't know what it's going to look like over there. The devil I know, I'm going to hang around over here with my old mates. Forget that. Do you know what? I have a pastor friend in Melbourne, and I don't like saying that, but there's some truth in it. He goes, don't hang around with the crowd. He's come out of a rough scene too, by the way. He came out of the underworld scene, but he says, don't hang around with the crowd because the crowd are idiots. Now, that's a harsh thing to say. Love people everywhere, yeah? I love people all the time. But don't listen to your old friends from the back there because I'll tell you what, they'll drag you back every single time. Because the crowd doesn't have a clue. Now, I love everybody. I'm there for anybody who wants to help. You know, I'll be straight there. But if somebody's really not interested, then I'm not really going to, you know, go out of my way to burn myself out with that. Because that's what you'll do. You can't afford to do that. Another friend of mine, two bad ones here out of this, so I'm not really into bad stuff, but Another friend that I knew, the gal and I both knew, he came out of a very rough scene and he got saved and all the rest, but he said to us one day, I'm going to go and back to my old crowd, sell a bit of heroin and make some money and then come back. Yeah. So he did that. He went back selling heroin. He got murdered for heroin. They killed him. Now, I believe he's in heaven because he had a faith, even though what he did. But this is the reality of things. There's nothing back there. You can't afford to go back. You really can't. And you know, when you do break through, when you're on the other side of that red sea and you're over there with different coloured glasses, you start to see, oh, wow, this is a whole different realm. God, you're so good. But you see, the enemy starts lying to your mind, oh, what are you doing, you know, come back here, you know. And you know in your own heart where it's going to lead you. But you need to be strong. Look at the prodigal son in the book of Luke. He wanted to taste the pleasures of what he thought was good life in Egypt. And he was given his inheritance, so he set off for what he thought was a good life, and he ended up feeding pigs and starving. We think, you know, all those things were good. They're not. It's garbage out there. It's dung out there. You want joy. You want presence of God. You want fun. Get in the presence of God. Yeah, there's a journey. There's some heartache stuff, but it's because he's dealing with your heart. It's because he loves you. He wants to transform everything in you. So that prodigal, a Jew hanging with pigs, let alone serving them, is unimaginable, but that's what the prodigal ended up doing before he came to his senses. The thing is, when your heart wants Egypt instead of God, God will eventually give you over to it, and you can be 100% certain you'll end up eating pig food. 100%. I've seen it too many times. I've seen people say, oh, I'm going to go back, and I watched the destruction, the devastation. It's just not worth it. The Hebrews continually threatened to stone Moses. Moses was trying to give them God and the promised land, but their hearts longed for Egypt and their life of a slave. They thought that was better. They were too scared to actually surrender to God. Oh, we want Egypt all the time. They were angry at Moses. They were coming out of a slave mentality. Their anger did not come from courage, though. It came from fear. Because of fear, they got angry and wanted to kill Moses. You see, anger is not courage. Anger is fear-based from the slave mentality. Love is courage. It comes from God, and it takes guts to love. We get hurt, but it takes guts to love people. And love is where the power is. You see, fear is weakness. Anger is weakness. You know, that's not a strength. That's not courage. That's weakness. We need to walk in the boldness and the love of Christ. The Hebrews said to Moses, Moses, have you brought us into the desert because there was not enough graves in Egypt? Let's stone him. Moses, we have no water. Let's stone him. Every time they wanted to stone him, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill the leader. The leader was trying to love on him and try and bring him in, but they wanted to kill him. So when you stand for Christ, don't expect the world to love you. Don't expect that. But it's the presence and the love of God that will sustain you through it. We know the story about, or some of us may, where Moses struck the rock twice when God told him to speak to the rock. There was a rock in the desert where they were all thirsty, yeah? Moses already knew what to do because God had already told him, I want you to speak to that rock, and water's going to gush out of it. The rock being a representation of Christ. So anyway, the Hebrews are all yelling at him, imagine, ah, what are you doing? Let's stone him. Moses took on their anger and got offended and went whack, whack to the rock, which was a representation of Christ. So God was not happy about that. But you see what anger can do to you too if you're not careful. Influences of anger can actually cause you to be angry, which is what happened with Moses. He took on that influence and got angry. So we need to be careful. When you get anger around you, always use love. Always be firm, but use love back. Don't take on other people's stuff. Because you can walk into atmospheres all the time. And we all do. You walk into atmospheres and you pick it up, there's something going on. Don't carry that. We need to be atmosphere changers. Bring the presence in. We need to be climate changers. The right climates. None of that. No, I won't go there. I was going to talk about greens, but no, I won't. So don't let other people's negativity and anger climate affect you. Don't let that affect you. Moses faced all sorts of challenges. He was challenged for leadership by Miriam and Aaron. You know, whatever you do, you know, you're going to get challenged. You're going to get that. But understand the dealings of God in these things. You know, you keep your heart right, you know God is going to bless you through it. I remember an old boss of mine years ago, and he was very angry at everyone. It was like that, you know. And I'd had enough one day, and I said, "Look, mate, I'm not your dog. Don't talk to me like your dog." And his dog was dying at the vets, and he goes, "Me dog's going. He's going. He's trying to tell me he's going to get rid of me." But within a week, he got the sack. Not because I'd said anything, but I had my heart right, and they'd had enough of him. What I'm saying is, if you keep your heart right in circumstances all the time, you know God is going to vindicate you right through the pain. But you're going to get stuff come against you, but you need to keep your heart right and let God do what he wants to do. God's for us, not against us. When crossing the Red Sea, God said to Moses, "Today you will see the Egyptians no more." You understand that? When you go for God, they'd crossed over. When you say, "I've had enough of this," you'll see the Egyptians, you'll see the past no more, because there's nothing back there. My old friends, you know, still say hello to them. Got a couple of them on Facebook, because you never know what could happen. But I don't hang around with them. Are you kidding? These guys are doing the drugs, they're doing everything, all the old stuff that I came from. You know, still keep that contact open, but I would never hang around with them. Forget that. That's crazy. Today I'll see the Egyptians no more. I got that, lived that, breathed that. I haven't a party for 23 years. I've had hard times. But I know God has brought me through every single thing. It's been the most exciting journey and adventure that one could ever ask for. You see, if you let go of Egypt in your heart, there will come a time when you'll see the Egyptians no more. Whatever Egypt is to you, whatever it is. Whether it be the things, people that you think are your friends back there, whether it be the drugs, whether it be the alcohol, whatever it is, whatever's got you there, if you let it go, you'll get free. But if you step out of Egypt, you can't afford to go back there again. Because there's nothing back there except despair, destruction, sorrow, and misery. I've watched people walk away from God, and I can say this with 100% surety. I've watched and observed the lives that have become train wrecks. You start serving God, and then you walk back into that. It's crazy. In Matthew 43:45, it explains this. When an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest. It does not find it. Then it says, "I'll return to the house I left." When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits, more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. You walk with God and then walk back into suffered's death, you're going to reap the consequences of your own choices. Interesting scripture. So if you come out of Egypt but still have Egypt in your heart instead of God, the enemy will come back and make you more of a prisoner than you already were. Moses had to learn how to lead these Hebrews, many of them that still preferred Egypt instead of God. Moses had everyone coming to him. He was wearied. He had to delegate. You imagine that, you know, millions of Hebrew slaves, you know, and he's trying to delegate to everyone, "Yes, what do I do here? Well, if you go and give some oxen," or the Lord's hadn't come yet. But you know what I'm saying? Could you imagine trying to do that? Trying to help all those people, because he didn't understand. He was learning too. So if you don't, here's a key for all of us in life. Don't let people weary you, because if they don't want to change, then don't chase them. Let them go, or else they'll wear you out. If people don't want to change, don't go running around, "Oh, come on, please, this is the way." Okay, knock yourself out. "I can't help you. I love you. I'll be there for you." But when someone wants help, run the mile. Go with them. Go with them. Be there for them. Help them. Bless them. But if they don't want to change, okay, I'll love you, but I'm not going to wear myself out. We're not called to fix anyone. Did you know that? We're called to point to Jesus. We're called to point to him. We're called to disciple others so that they can come into the maturity and fish for themselves. Because if they're depending on you, you're going to wear yourself out. You can't do that. If someone wants Christ, then go the extra mile for them. But if they don't, then don't burn yourself out where God is not working. Don't do that. Too many people do that. What sustained Moses in all that? What sustained him? Why did he? How was he able to cope? Well, Exodus 33:11 says, it says the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. How would that be? We can have that relationship. The Lord speak face to face. Face to face, spirit to spirit. His spirit testifies with my spirit that I'm a child of his. His spirit is connected to my spirit face to face, speaking in a relationship with him. The excitement, the joy of who his father was, of who God was, that's what sustained him. In Numbers 12:6-8 it says, the Lord said, listen to my words. When there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face. And clearly, not in riddles, says here, Moses sees the form of the Lord. The form. So Moses was seeing God face to face as in form, as in body, seeing him. See, Moses not only knew of God, he spoke with him face to face. Moses saw God face to face in bodily form. Every time he went in and met him in the tent of meeting, this is what kept Moses going. You see, it's the relationship with a loving God that sustains you through all the stuff we're going to go through, because you can't do anything in the natural. Think you're going to try and do all this stuff, you're just, it's not going to happen. It's the presence of God, it's the love of God, it's his joy, it's allowing him inside your spirit, and he sustains you. Sometimes people consider going back to Egypt because the devil has lied to them and tried to convince them that they were better off. Oh yeah, well, if I just go back to Egypt, I could have this and that and that. Oh yeah. We all know in our hearts that's not true, but we listen to our mind. Don't spray it, say it. We listen to our mind and think that that's what's going to happen, but it's not. See, I believe God is saying this morning, there's nothing back there. When I came out of Egypt, I had to leave the old life behind. It was my heart that needed to leave Egypt. My heart needed to leave Egypt. Some people can try to attempt a journey out of Egypt as the Hebrews did, but they still have Egypt in their heart. And parts of us, guess what, we all do. We're still learning, but it's yielding to God. Okay, God, help me. It's not a condemnation thing. It's wow, God, this is still here. I give it to you. Cast all my cares upon you. Father, you know what's going on. I give this to you. When Sodom and Gomorrah was about to be judged and Lot and his family was given time to leave by the angels who came to destroy the place, Lot's life will look back to her. Lot's wife looked back to her old life, back to the past of her old life, and she turned into a pillar of salt. You see, she was still looking back to the past. Still looking back there. There's nothing back there. Trying to live in God's kingdom with your heart still secretly in Egypt is a miserable existence. It's miserable. Torment comes. You know, how can you love God and love both places? You can't. You'll either hate one and love the other. You can't do that. You can't live in the world and think, I'm going to live here too. Isaiah 43:18-19 says this, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. So we cannot focus on the past. God has got an awesome journey and adventure, but if we don't yield, there's nothing that he can do. We need to yield to him. We need to get into an intimate relationship with him. Don't listen to the old crowd, because the crowd doesn't have a clue. Listen to people that are following him. You want to grow, you get around the body of Christ. You don't want to grow, hang around by yourself. And you'll end up back in the wasteland, back in death. So, Father, today I just thank you for everybody that's struggling. I pray, Lord, your word doesn't return void. I pray, speak into hearts this morning, Lord. Touch lives. I pray, refresh people. Father, help us to leave the past, because there's nothing back there, and go forward in you. Jesus, we just love you and we bless you and we thank you. Have your way. Why, Dario? Because he loves us, because he loves us, because he loves us. Amen. I'm just going to put this on, so let's just focus on some of the stuff I spoke about.